Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hello, 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 everyone, and alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. It is still the Easter season. Hope all of you are living in the new life that Christ has come to bring. And whether you're listening on Friday night, on Saturday at noon, or Sunday morning at 9, I'm guessing it's not necessarily a very spring-like weather out there. And so new life may be hard to come by. It may not look much like it out there. But my encouragement to you today, especially as we are still in the midst, actually, we're still near the beginning of this Easter season. My encouragement to you is to do something to incorporate that new life to remind you of the new life that Christ has come to bring. Flowers are always a good idea, right, guys? You're with me on that, right? Flowers are always a good idea. And quite frankly, just to lay it out there, I hope I'm not emasculating myself too much right here, but I'm a fan of receiving flowers as well. I like it when my wife buys me flowers. I think that's a good thing. So, ladies, guys, whoever you are, buy them for each other, buy them for yourselves, bring in some flowers. But there's other ways to do that too, not least of which, of course, is in our own relationship with the Lord. And there's many ways in which we can go deeper into that relationship. But since it's the Easter season and we are hanging on Christ's words that he makes all things new, then maybe it's time to just try something new. Try something new in your devotional life. Try something new that you haven't encountered or experienced before. Take a look and actually listen to the community events we've got going on at the end of the show and think about how you might be involved in some of these community events, whether that's advocacy training at the state capitol, the ACCW annual convention that is coming up. Grandparents, there's something for you. Maybe it's discerning your gifts of the Holy Spirit, your charisms through a Called and Gifted workshop at the end of April here coming up. Worldwide Marriage Encounter is also coming up. Or go to the events page at rediscover-faith.org and check out what's going on there. There's Bible studies going on. There's book studies going on. Maybe it's time to try something new and to forge new depths in your relationship with the Lord. That's my encouragement to you on this weekend as we begin the third week of Easter this Sunday. Many ways in which we need to revel and celebrate the new life of the Lord, to be sure. Today, we are going to actually be focusing on that convention coming up for the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women. Don't know what that is? Well, stick around. We're going to find out more about what that is. We're going to have Debbie Keller with us, who is the president of the ACCW, and she's going to be with us, as well as keynote speaker Yen Fasano, and they are going to be speaking about what exactly is going on in the ACCW, in the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women. We're going to find out all about that. And guys, don't change the station just because you hear that, because there's plenty that we can learn too. Fascinating things that the Lord is doing through our mothers, our sisters, our wives, our daughters, our nieces, etc. So wonderful things that we can be aware of how the Lord is moving in those ways. But before we get there, we're actually going to be speaking with Judith Franey. Judith is going to be, she was promised a few weeks ago, and then unfortunately we were unable to have her on the show, but she is now with us, and she is going to be speaking about the Shroud of Turin, and she has got a lot of very interesting things to talk about with the Shroud. Do you know about the Shroud? Have you seen the Shroud? She actually does presentations on the Shroud as well, and she is going to be coming up with us right after our first break, which we will take in a minute, but here at the top of the show, let's as always pause and commit the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Please pray with me as we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're into our first break, but when we come back, Judith Franey is with us to talk about the Shroud of Turin, something you won't want to miss. Stay with us.
Do you know what it means to give first? It's giving without asking for something in return, right? Helping a neighbor, friend, or family member. Giving your time, energy, or money to support a great cause. Well, the folks at Catholic United Financial know firsthand the benefits of giving first. Why? Because they're a not-for-profit financial company. For example, no one asked them to raise millions of dollars each year for Catholic schools. It's what they do. No one asked them to give post-secondary scholarships to over 500 kids each year. It's what they do. No one asked them to create a disaster response team 10 years ago to help those in need. And finally, no one asked them to hold annual volunteer events to help benefit the homeless and those less well off. They do it because they're a Give First organization, and they've been doing it for 140 years. People helping people with life insurance, annuities, and retirement products. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and do business with a Give First organization. Give them a call today.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you again. Glad to be with you here on the Rediscover Hour as we welcome to the studio Judith Franey, who is trained by the Confraternity of the Holy Shroud, or CHS, under the direction of Dr. John Jackson, who is the founder of the original Shroud Research Project back in 1978. She's going to talk to us about the Shroud of Turin. A couple other things about her, though, before we get there. She is now retired from 34 years as an early childhood family education teacher in the St. Paul Public Schools, and she was also a member of an advisory panel developing content for Sesame Street's 47th season. Fascinating. Very good. Judith, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, excellent. We're just very excited that you're with us, and there's so many questions I want to ask about the Sesame Street thing, but that's not why you're here. So
nope.
we'll just go right into the Shroud. Now, I can't imagine that there'd be very many listeners out there who have never heard of the Shroud of Turin. However, being an RCIA director, I know that we have a number of new Catholics with us now that we're into the Easter season. So why don't you just, in case anybody doesn't know, what is the Shroud of Turin? Let's just start there. What is it?
Well, the Shroud of Turin is a linen cloth. It's about 14 and a half feet long and 3 feet and a half wide, approximately. It's dated to the first century. It bears the image of a crucified man on it. And many people believe that it is the burial cloth of the historic Jesus Christ.
Wonderful. Okay. So how did you first get interested in the Shroud?
Well, I was raised Catholic, but I'd never heard a single thing about the Shroud.
Okay.
And I came across it when I was visiting Our Lady of Guadalupe in, where is it?
In La Crosse.
In La Crosse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A book about relics. And I read about it, and I was so fascinated by it. So I started studying it and trying to learn as much as I could about it. And I came across a conference that was being held in Pasco, Washington in last July. And it was a group of scientists and researchers from all over the world, and they presented their information on the Shroud. I went to it. I was completely blown away. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to have that scientific evidence, but it's there, and it's fascinating. And I met a man by the name of Bob Siefker there who invited me to join a group of people who were being trained to go out, to volunteer to go out into the community and teach about the Shroud.
Mm.
And he was from the Confraternity of the Holy Shroud based in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Wow. And just one thing led to another after that. And
you
became one of those presenters, which is what you're doing now. Excellent. I've heard something about this this STRP, is that right? The Shroud Turin Research Project, and that examined the Shroud in 1978. What is that?
The STRP project was founded by Dr. John Jackson. He was working at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs as a physicist and researcher out there, and he put together a team of 24 scientists and got permission to go to Turin, Italy, and study the Shroud for an unprecedented 120 hours. And they had every kind of possible type of researcher you can imagine. And their main question was, how was the image formed?
Wow. And they dug into that. They did all sorts of things. Well, one of the things that you hear a lot about with the Shroud is carbon dating. Right. Can you say something about that? I mean, what is it about the carbon dating? Yeah, there's been multiple reports and things like that from my understanding. So what can you tell us about the carbon dating?
Well, in 1988, there was a sample taken from the Shroud.
Okay.
And it was sent to four different labs throughout the world. And they came up with that the Shroud they called it a forgery, and it was from the Middle Ages. And it was devastating to the Shroud community at that time. But since then, there's been research that has disputed that. And thanks to this lovely couple by the name of Joe Marino and his wife, Sue Benford, and they didn't believe that the Shroud was a fake, and they were determined to look into it further. In 2001, I believe they had a paper published, and they presented it at a conference in Spain. And it's kind of an interesting story because this photographer who was on the original STIRP team, Barry Schwartz, who was, by the way, the only Jewish member of the team.
Oh, fascinating.
He started a website called Shroud.com. But anyway, he was friends with this thermochemist by the name of Ray Rogers. And Ray Rogers did not believe that the Shroud was authentic. And he thought that Joe and his wife, Sue, were part of the fringe fanatics, he called them. And in a phone conversation with Barry Schwartz, he said, "I can prove that they're wrong in 5 minutes." And he was really upset about these two non-scientists, you know, claiming to know about the Shroud. And Barry Schwartz said to him, "Well, Ray, if you can do that, why don't you just go ahead and do that?" And so he did. He took out, he had a few samples left from the 1978 STIRP project. And he called Barry Schwartz back and he said, "You know what? They're right." And I can actually read to you what he said. He said, yes, and it's really interesting because this was 6 weeks before he died, Ray Rogers died. He said, "The radiocarbon sample was not part of the original cloth of the Shroud of Turin. The radiocarbon date was thus not valid for determining the true age of the Shroud." What Sue and Joe believed was that where the sample was taken in an area that was probably part of a reweave in the Middle Ages.
Hmm.
You know, the edges were torn and worn, and it's thousands of years old, the linen. And they could see that the pattern changed, and also there were dyes in there that didn't belong in there, and there were cotton fibers that didn't belong in there.
Hmm.
And there's this sort of French reweaving that goes on. And there was no documentation of it, but that's what they feel had happened.
Wow. Okay. So you're starting to get into this already, but that's another question I had for you, was that on top of the carbon dating, there's other evidence that it very well may be authentic. So what constitutes some of that other evidence?
Oh, my gosh. It's overwhelming. It is absolutely overwhelming, the evidence about the Shroud. I mean, things like the dirt that was found in the nose area on the Shroud, in the knees and in the feet. It's a very rare type of dirt. It's called travertine aragonite. The steps of the Temple of Israel, although the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, the steps are still there. And that dirt matches the dirt found in those areas on the Shroud.
Wow.
The pollen evidence. The pollen evidence, there's pollen near where the wounds in the head, the crown of thorns,
right,
are from this flowering thorn bush that grows in Jerusalem. It's called Gundelia turnfortii.
Wow. She did that without looking at the notes, folks, just so you know. Right. Okay.
I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Nice.
And then also the pollen evidence follows the history of the Shroud. There's pollen from Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
There's pollen from Turkey. There's pollen from France. There's pollen from Italy. Now, how on earth could a medieval forgery get together pollen and implant it, embed it in the Shroud? It's impossible.
Wow.
And, you know, and then, of course, all the wounds match the Gospels. Mm. All of the wounds. There's no bones broken. There's the wound in the side. You know, the crucifixion, the crown of thorns. You know, throughout history, there's never been any record of someone being crowned with thorns mm-hmm. during crucifixion.
Mm. Wow. Okay. What about the image itself? What can you tell us specifically about the image that's found on the shroud?
Well, the Stirp Project determined that there's no dyes, there's no paint, there's no pigments, and that as far as how the image was made, it's still a question. They don't know. Mm. Many scientists believe that it was a form of ultraviolet radiation that seared the image on the very, very surface of the shroud. If you take a human hair, cut it in half again, and I think cut it in half again, that's how lightly the image is on the surface.
Really? And a lot of people think that or they just assume that it's blood, but it's not blood either, is it?
No, it's not blood.
Right.
And that's another thing. When the Stirp Project went to Italy, many of the researchers said, we're going to prove this is a fake in a minute because there's all this red on there and blood does not stay red. At least they thought that until it was discovered that when someone dies a traumatic death like Jesus did, that bilirubin rushes to the blood cells. And when the bilirubin, which is a protein from the liver, when it hits the air, it turns red forever.
Really? Wow. And clearly, I mean, just in conversing just a short time that we have already, you know what you're talking about. So how many presentations have you given, just out of curiosity?
I've only given two of them.
Oh, you're kidding.
I really want to get out there and get the word out.
Yeah, well, we will have more information on that in just a few minutes. I do want to ask a couple more questions about it, though. Does it seem like a miracle that the shroud has not been destroyed over the course of nearly 2,000 years?
It's incredible. I mean, it's gone through two major fires, one in 1532 in Chambéry, France, and then another one in Turin, Italy, like in 1997, I think. I'm not sure about that date. Earthquakes, constant persecution of the church, wars, water damage. There's so many things. And there's a very interesting story. During World War II, the Savoy family has owned the shroud up until just about 20 years ago. Then it was given to the Holy See. But King Umberto, who had left Italy because of the war, World War II, was really worried about the shroud, and it was in Turin at that time. So he had it taken from Turin, Italy, and put into a monastery, a Benedictine monastery, and Hitler wanted the shroud. And so at one point, the Nazi soldiers came to this very Benedictine monastery and were searching for it. And all of the monks went into the room, the very room that the shroud was hidden in, and began to pray. And for whatever reason, the Nazis went into that very room, and one of the Nazi officers said, you know, let's leave them alone here. We can search other places.
Wow.
And once again, the shroud dodged
a
bullet.
You know, dodged the bullet, yeah.
It's just amazing. It's amazing it survived.
So just a little off topic in terms of the evidence of the shroud and the authenticity of the shroud and everything. What, in your opinion, I mean, why is it important? Why is it important to our faith?
Well, I think that the shroud is really like a receipt of Christ's suffering and sacrifice that he made for us. For me, when I read what Christ actually went through, I read a book that was published in 1953 by a Dr. Barbet, who was a surgeon. Mm-hmm. And when you understand the depth of what he went to, and that was just the physical pain, because he was human and divine. He, of course, he suffered taking on the sins of the world as well. Mm-hmm. It just brings us into a closer relationship with Jesus and a love and a deep appreciation for the sacrifice that he made. And that's really the power of the shroud.
That's amazing. Okay, so just before you go, a couple of questions that we absolutely have to hit. Number one, if people want to find out more about the shroud in general, where would you send them?
I would send them to shroudconfraternity.org.
Shroudconfraternity.org.
Right.
Okay.
And that would be a really wonderful source and a very, you know, the really great factual, solid information. The confraternity goes out of its way to only give scientific information that is like class one, class two. There's different classes of scientific information, and they go out of their way to present only the stuff that is really solid.
Okay, very good. And secondly, I'm hopeful that a lot of people are saying, wow, we got to get her in. We got to do a presentation here. So how do people get in touch with you if they'd like to have, because you're available, you said, to come into parishes, schools perhaps, and give these sorts of presentations on the Shroud.
Yeah, homeless shelters, wherever you want. Maybe. Nice. Tupperware okay. parties, whatever you want. I'm willing to go.
Tupperware parties. Suddenly I'm interested in Tupperware. All
right. It's judith.rice, R-I-C-E, dot Franey, F-R-A-N-E-Y, dot A-C-H-S at gmail.com.
Okay, one more time. judith.rice.franey, F-R-A-N-E-Y, dot
A-C-H-S, that's American Confraternity of the Holy Shroud, but just the letters.
Yep. A-C-H-S.
At gmail.com.
At gmail. Okay, yeah. Wonderful. Judith, a pleasure having you on the Rediscover Hour this morning. I'm very grateful for you, all, not just you sharing with us, but all the work you've done in terms of getting to know the Shroud. And I hope that you have lots and lots of people responding and getting you out there for presentations.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah,
and it really is an adventure, and it's fascinating, and it's a gift, really.
Absolutely. Certainly. Well, again, thank you, and God bless you and all your work. You. We're going to go into our next break, and as we do so, when we come back, we'll be talking about the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women, and yeah, lots of good stuff to learn. Stay with us. Rediscover.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
I just wanted to remind our listeners that when they support Relevant Radio, they're not just supporting Relevant, they're also supporting their local apostolates who are given a voice through Relevant Radio for all of their ministries, their awareness of what they're doing.
Relevant Radio is a wonderful charity, and I know a lot of you have your own personal charities that you like to support. It might be the Cause of Life. It might be vocations. It might be Catholic education. They're all noble, and I'm glad you support them, and you should. But I'll tell you what, when you support Relevant Radio, I'll tell you, you give a real boost, a real platform, a real bump to every one of those outlets.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
It's more than you need. Safe here with me. It all starts the moment you believe.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer. Coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios out in Golden Valley, Minnesota. The Rediscover Hour is sponsored by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life, and we thank them for their sponsorship as well. Joining us now in studio, Debbie Keller, who is the current president of the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women. She is the wife of John, parents of 3 sons and 2 daughters. She's 100% Czech and loves polka music, which I suppose we might get into a little bit. We'll see. And also Jen Fasano, who is with us, and she's going to be speaking on joy rooted in identity and humility at the ACCW conference. Previously an educator in the Catholic school system in Memphis, Chicago, Cleveland, and most recently the director of evangelization for St. Anne, St. Joseph Hien, here in Minneapolis. So welcome, ladies. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you, Pat.
Yeah, very good to be with you. All right, Debbie, let's start with you. Just in case there may be some people listening who never heard of the ACCW before, the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women, what is it?
It's an organization that was begun in 1920 by the United States Catholic bishops.
Okay.
And they kind of gave the directive to women within the country to begin parish level and deanery and archdiocesan level organizations, and it gives us a voice in the Catholic Church. It's kind of an organized way to have efforts to, you know, have a voice, to, you know, start ministerial works, to pray, to lead, to be trained. Yeah.
And you've been involved for quite a while.
Probably going on about 12 years, yeah. Actually, you know, involved, but, you know, kind of watching from, you know, the periphery for many years prior to that, because
right.
I had, you know, the children and was busy with them.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. And just out of curiosity, how would a woman get involved in the ACCW?
By the directive of the bishops, every woman is a member of the Council of Catholic Women. And in our archdiocese, we have 93 active affiliated or parish organizations. But you could contact our ACCW office. You could just call the Archdiocesan Catholic Center, and they'll direct you to our line, and we can, you know, get your name. You could talk to your pastor. There's a lot of information out there on our website. You could check that.
Wow, which is what? What's your website?
ACCWARCHSPM.org.
Right. Okay, so that's ACCW for Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women, ARCHSPM for Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis.org. Okay, wonderful. Thank you for that brief summary of what the ACCW is. Right, yeah, absolutely. So let's go back in time before we go forward in time. Let's go back to this past February. What was the focus? You had a legislative day. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. We partnered with the Minnesota Catholic Conference, and Rachel Herbeck, who is the policy and outreach coordinator there, was on a committee with us, a planning team. And we planned a day. It started out with Mass at the cathedral with Bishop Cousins. We had Bishop Kettler come from the St. Cloud Diocese, and our spiritual advisor, Father Dave Koner, celebrated Mass. And then we had training points on two key legislation pieces in the morning with the Minnesota Catholic Conference team. And then in the afternoon, we went to the Capitol. The two pieces of legislation, and what we do is we follow the Minnesota Catholic Conference, who kind of is initiated to be focused by the Minnesota Catholic bishops. Mm. On human trafficking and anti-pornography. There's a key legislation piece that's on the docket right now. And then surrogacy is the other key piece. So we met with our senators and representatives that afternoon, encouraged them to bring from, you know, beneath the stack of bills that they have on their desks. I hear that there's over 2,000 this year, possibly.
Wow.
You know, there's just so many. And so what our job is to raise that kind of to their field of vision and give it attention and maybe consider, you know, passing it. So it has the human trafficking and anti-pornography legislation has passed the hearing both at the House and the Senate.
Great.
And Yen was there.
That's right.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah. Yen, tell us about your experience there at the legislative day.
Yeah, I think it was a very well organized and very important call. I think we shy away from politics, but it's really part of our baptismal call to make a difference and to evangelize. And Debbie and her team did an amazing job of organizing it. And just to be a part of something bigger than you, knowing that you're going to make a difference and hearing the testimonies was so moving. And also seeing young adults be involved as well was a point of comfort for me as well, just to see and know that people really do care and that they can make a difference through their voice and just their presence even. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, obviously, it's very important that we continue to do that. We have representatives from the Minnesota Catholic Conference on the show regularly as well, and we're constantly encouraging people to be involved politically, so I'm glad that you're a good representation of that. Mm-hmm. Now, but that's not where the two of you met. You met in and through this Joy of the Gospel convocation that you were part of, Yen, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, tell us a little bit about what that's all about.
So, in about May, I got a letter from Archbishop Hebda inviting me to attend the convocation of the Joy of the Gospel down in Florida. And I'm looking at him like, I don't deserve this. And it started saying, Dear Mrs. Fasano. But in the letter, he crossed out Mrs. Fasano and wrote Yen. And so immediately I'm like, I don't deserve this. I'm not worth it. But I decided to take it up in prayer, and I started doing the Joyful Mysteries of the Rosary to kind of see what's happening here. And immediately, the first Joyful Mystery is the Annunciation. And I realized Mary didn't look for affirmation. She didn't ask why, and she didn't also use excuses like, but I'm young, or I don't think I can do it. She simply said yes. And that's where the humility and the trust transform our world, right? When she accepted. And so I accepted, and it was just the beginning of so many graces and blessings that have been outpoured and given to me. So,
wow. Yeah. And you know what I love about that crossing out the Mrs. Fasano part?
Yes.
Is that, I mean, when Gabriel came to Mary, he says, Hail Mary. And And when Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene in the resurrection, she doesn't recognize him until he says, Mary, right? I mean, there's something about the Lord knowing our name, right?
I just kept looking at it, and I just, the Bible verse, like, he knows you by name. He calls you by name.
Right.
I had that letter next to my bed. I'm just like, he called me Yen, like, Yen. It's like, it's like I saw my name in a whole new way, like, Yen, you know?
So. I love it. Very good. Good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just let's then come back to that if we need to, but I do want to focus. I want to make sure that we talk about the upcoming convention, which is on April 20th and 21st. Mm-hmm. Give us just some general idea. What is the ACCW convention all about, Debbie?
Well, this year our theme is Living 86 Years with the Joy of the Gospel. And we take that theme, you know, we're very, very intentional when we come up with our themes each year. This was twofold. One, it's the National Council of Catholic Women's Convention theme in Dallas was Living the Joy of the Gospel, and they're approaching their 100th anniversary. And so then we, and much of what permeated through the convention last fall in Dallas was a lot about joy, the joy of the gospel, Pope Francis's, you know, call for us to bring the joy of the gospel, bring the good news, as Jens said, to the peripheries. And so that was one. And then the other area was this convocation of Catholic leaders that took place in Orlando was also themed the joy of the gospel. So we're carrying that through. And that's the message that we want to bring to the woman in the pew, is that there is power, there is beauty, there is love that resonates in such a theme. So many of our speakers are going to be speaking of that. And also embedded in the definition of joy is also to be attentive to who, you know, joy isn't always, we always think it's, you know, happy and exudes love, but it's also something to be aware. We want to bring joy to those people who are harmed and who are hurting. Mm-hmm. So one of our speakers, two Franciscan sisters from Rochester are going to be speaking on human trafficking, breaking the chain, Sister Brianna McCarthy and Sister Anne Walsh, and that'll be on Saturday at 9:15 in the morning, kind of to carry through the theme of our call legislatively,
yeah.
You know, how to take action in that regard. But yeah, so the joy of the gospel is our theme, and
nice.
A lot of what we're planning is centered around that.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. excellent. Mm-hmm. And where is it taking place again?
It's at St. Michael's Church in Stillwater.
And it's a two-day event.
It's a two-day event, yes. It starts on Friday, April 20th. Registration begins at 12:30, and then we have, at 1 o'clock, we have kind of three breakout sessions that attendees can participate in. A first-time attendee session, a Naomi Ruth prayer partner session, where we connect women who pray for each other, two by two, and then we'll be praying the rosary. And this is kind of a new initiative that we started this year. Vice chair, I created a position called the vice chair of the dignity and vocation of women, because I think we really need to understand who we are as women. What is the definition of womanhood and femininity? And we'd like to bring back the true meaning of that. So that's another kind of underlying message that we're trying to bring back. Who we are truly as God's beloved daughters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so the rosary is going to be focused with meditations on some of those writings from Pope John Paul II's Mularius Dignitatum.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I presume that this is open to any women.
Yes, it is.
Any women who would like
to
attend.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. Is there a cost for the day?
Yes,
the days,
there is.
I should say.
Yes, there's a one-day charge would be $40 for Friday only, or $40 for Saturday only, and then I'm sorry, our prices have gone up. This is past the deadline. So
okay, all right.
So I might be receiving some. It's $50 for Friday only, $50 for Saturday only, and then $80 for both days. Yes, our price increase took place April 5th.
Got
so
it.
I have to kind of stick with what the board has.
I understand.
Set forth. Yeah.
That's why we have boards. That's right.
That's right.
But, you know, still, I mean, especially if you register for both days, quite a bargain for $80 for both days. And what's all included in that other than the speakers?
You would receive dinner on Friday. We're having kind of a picnic themed dinner. There's five speakers total. There's four other sessions. And then lunch on Saturday, you receive a bag, a packet of materials, some reading materials, you know, which is always great. There's going to be door prizes. Many of the vendors donate door prizes, so that's going to be a part of it. Some special surprises, too, throughout the day.
With a little teaser there. Special surprises.
Yes. Right. We each even have some sort of a game, I think, we're playing after the banquet on Friday evening. And we're going to be having individuals move from the social hall into the gymnasium, where we're going to have like a dessert, wine, and beer bar.
Wait a minute. Now suddenly I'm very interested. Dessert, wine, and beer.
Yes. Dessert, wine, and beer. Yes, we have some local vineyard and a local brewery are donating wine and beer for this event. So I think that's going to be... Yeah, I think some of our husbands are going to want to be there for that.
Exactly. Can't you just have that one session that's open
just
to...
Just for right. men only.
Yes, I appreciate that.
That might be a little bit more expensive, though.
Oh, okay. Well played. Okay, so since the focus is really on the joy of the gospel and everything, Yen, you've been asked to speak on joy rooted in identity and humility. Can you give us a little sneak peek into what you're going to be talking about?
Sure. I think throughout life, we're given many identities, a lot of which we earn and work towards, which is wonderful. And others are gifted, like being a wife and being a mother. However, I found in my life, true joy has been rooted in the one identity that I didn't earn, that I didn't work towards, and that is the beloved daughter of the King Most High. And to know that I'm a product of such divine mercy and love has been absolutely transformational. So it isn't just happiness that's fleeting or based on memories or degrees. It's truly rooted in who I am. And I think that's very important to know that, you know, we are made in love, by love, and for love. And the humility piece for me is I've seen where pride has taken me, not very far, maybe very high up, but the fall has been long and hard as well. And just to realize, why do I put everything on myself when I have a God and a spirit that wants to love me and help me and transform me? And just that trust and that letting go has been amazing. Like, I just feel like I'm a different person because I can find joy even in the suffering. And so when things happen and you know who you are unshakable. And just like Mary, you know, true humility, the definition of humility, the devil despised her. And I always think of the song, it's like, "Din-in-in-in, can't touch this." You know, like she is untouchable. But look at what she's been able to do just simply by being humble and saying yes. So that's a sneak peek.
Yeah. So far in this interview, you've quoted Jesus and MC Hammer.
I have.
It's great.
There'll be storytelling.
Apparently there will be storytelling. Actually, just on that, Yen, can you just give us a snapshot of your own spiritual journey? Just a snapshot of, for example, were you raised Catholic? Were you raised in the church?
Yes. Okay. I'm a cradle Catholic.
Okay.
My parents are divorced, so I never got to know the love of the Father. And so I think you always, like I worked, you know, to get good grades, to be at the top of my class, to get multiple degrees, just so that I can be seen and loved. But that never came, you know, and that's okay because now, through knowing who I really am, I found that joy. So.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Wow. Well, and I mean, I'm looking forward to hearing about, since apparently I'm not allowed to attend, especially the dessert and wine and beer. Oh, I thank you for that. Thank you. But I look forward to hearing about your talk. And how many people are you hoping for, Debbie, at this convention?
Oh, thousands.
Really?
No.
I don't know St. Michael. I've been to St. Michael's. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Typically, our conventions draw between 200 and 250 women. We encourage each parish to send two delegates, is what we say. But there are some parishes who send 20 to 30 women. So, you know, it all depends. But what our purpose and intent is that there's at least two women from each parish that do come, you know, kind of like how Jesus called the disciples two by two.
Right.
that they come. They receive the materials. They find out about the ministerial works that we do on an archdiocesan, national and international levels. They learn more about, you know, the whole sense of our organization. Then they take that back to their parishes. And, you know, there's, like I said, there's over 90 affiliated parish organizations. Most of them are Council of Catholic Women. Some go under the title of Altar Rosary Society or a women's group. And then, you know, we partner with them. We encourage, we support, you know, our mission statement, basically, I should probably get into that, is to support, empower, and educate Catholic women in spirituality, leadership, and service. With you know, meeting the needs in society with gospel values. So, and we really do try to live that. We put that on all of our publicity materials. We pray that mission statement at many of our meetings because we want to always be mindful of who we are, because to understand who we are and where we came from will give us a pathway forward to where we're going.
Love it.
I think history is crucial to knowing the pathway forward.
Right. Mm-hmm. Question for both of you. You've already touched on it some, but what do you think are some of the what are some of the biggest challenges that women, Catholic women especially, face today, and maybe just women in general, but what are some of the challenges that they face in terms of their own spiritual life and development, but also how they can make an impact on the world for the gospel? Yen? I see you thinking, yeah. Yes.
Wheels are spinning.
I think the challenges is deals with identity issues, you know, and I think the challenges is seeking and wanting to be seen and to be loved. And I think we're looking in all the wrong places. You know, I think at the foot of the cross, we see that love and he sees us. And I think as the challenge for me is just to really absorb and live that truth. And so I see, and I tell my daughters, you know, they'll ask like, am I Vietnamese? I'll be like, yes. And then they'll go to their dad. Am I Italian? Yes. But what am I? Well, you're a sister and you're a daughter. And nothing really seems to satisfy them. And so then I pull them aside and be like, you know, Maria, Francesca, like, you are the most beloved daughter of God. That is who you are. And you're going to make a difference and you're going to change the world because you have his love in you. And then the question stops. I was like, oh, phew, thank you, Holy Spirit. But they know, like, it's almost like these other identities aren't enough. While they're fulfilling, and I tell them lots of people could love you wholeheartedly, but only God can love you perfectly. And I think for women, we want that perfect love, to know that we're captivating and that we're beautiful and that we have something to offer in terms of leadership and voice. And that, you know, the Catholic word means universal, and you just look at the diverse church and how beautiful they truly are. And so I think just no buts, like get rid of the buts, you know, like, but this, no, just no excuses. This is who you are. And even though you don't think you deserve it or worth it, through mercy and love, you are.
Yeah. Amen. Wow. Well spoken. Debbie, anything to follow up with that? Challenges that you think of for today's woman?
You know, we have many discussions at our board meetings about this. We do a lot of conference calling among smaller identifiable groups. And I think it's an identity crisis. I think Jan hit upon that very well. I think our definition is we can't go by what the culture defines a woman as. We have to go by what the church defines a woman as, and ultimately what God has created us to be. And I think those mixed messages have confused many women. And I know that there are many, and I love what the CNS Symposium is doing in redefining, you know, in actually not redefining, in defining. I mean, that's what the culture has done, redefined who we are as women, what femininity is, as I had touched upon. And we have to get back to the root. who are we? Why have we been created as beloved daughters of God's and, you know, and respected, admired sons of God? And what does that mean? And I think there's so many initiatives now that are taking place, not just in our own local archdiocese, but across the nation and even universally. I think Pope Francis has done, you know, made some significant strides. There's still some a distance to go, but it's like we are in the world, but we are not of it. We are pilgrims passing through. And what does that really truly mean? You know, and I think it's that personal discovery. You know, we each have to, you know, there's a saying, and I have this plaque. It says, let's see, how is it? Prayer. Oh, I can't think of it, you know, but it's that I'm on my knees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do best when I'm on my knees. And I tell you, I've replaced a lot of my jeans because the knees were out.
They're
worn out.
Nice, nice. So just asking from the male perspective, you know, guys, we have women in our lives. We have women, especially given the identity crisis or at least question that is out there for a lot of women, as you've defined it. What can we as husbands, fathers, sons, how can we reaffirm and help out in that capacity and helping women to understand their true identity as women, as daughters of the Most High, the King Most High?
Yeah. Well, I think communication is key to uphold, to understand we're human, we're not perfect, and I think we need to do the same with, you know, men. I think we just have to look at one another as created by God in his likeness and image. Simple. Sometimes I think we complicate what God has, you know, called us to. It's very simple. And we have to enter that school of silence, that school of prayer. I think the Holy Spirit is going to lead us because for each individual, we're unique. You know, we're like a tapestry. And each thread was just, you know, I know you had spoken about the Shroud of Turin, you know, and we were down at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe with my parish. And my background is in textiles and clothing design. And I just think of a tapestry. Each thread is so unique and so different. And if that thread were missing, you'd notice it in the whole tapestry. And we're like those threads within a tapestry, and we have to offer what we have. We have to be humble, like you had mentioned, Yen. It, you know, just that humility, that docility to the Holy Spirit, the yielding. And I think, but I think communication is huge.
Yeah.
Ongoing. Yeah.
Yeah. Any suggestions from you, Yen?
Yeah, I think when you're in love with a person, I remember the dating stage, right? All you do is think about that person. How do I let them know they are loved? And I think when husbands have that level of service and level of mindfulness, then they think about ways to serve their wives, you know, out of love. So figuring out what her love language is, making thoughtful notes. It's always about the little things. It's not about grand gestures that captivates the heart of a woman or helps to strengthen your wife, but it could be a text that says, I love you. Thank you for being a mom. Mm. I see you washing, hand washing dishes. Our dishwasher broke. Mm. That must be a sacrifice, you know, but just to be there. But more than that, for the husbands to also love the children and show them that they're a man that's rooted in prayer and humility. The children really look up to the father.
Mm-hmm.
He has an immense role in their formation as well.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful advice. Well, we've only got a couple minutes left, but and I do want to go back to make sure we cover the convention as well. Debbie, anything further you want to tell us about specifically the convention coming up April 20th and 21st?
Yes, there are three other speakers I'd like to mention.
Yeah.
Father Kevin Kenny will be speaking on the joy of cultural differences. He was a former Latino Vicar General of the Archdiocese and a former pastor at Our Lady of Guadalupe. And then Stephanie Lansom is an author. She is actually a parishioner at St. Michael's in Stillwater. And she will be speaking upon bringing women of the Gospels to life, and she's just delightful. And then at the conclusion of these two are Friday, Father Kevin will be Friday earlier at 1:30, and then Stephanie at 4. And then on Saturday in the afternoon at 1:15, Michelle Gileno will be speaking of joy of the Gospel, find it, live it, share it. And she has a ministry called Give Him Five, and she'll be sharing more about that.
Amazing, yeah. And again, the convention goes on Friday, April 20th and Saturday, April 21st. To find out more and to register, that website again is ACCWARCHSPM. So ACCWARCHSPM.org. And you should go and check it out there. Yen,
yes.
How are people going to stay in touch with you in case they can't attend a convention or if they're a man like me or something like that? I heard something about caffeinated blessings.
Yes. First, I'd like to thank all those supporting Catholic Services Appeal Foundation, which in turn directly supports ACCW. But I decided through the movement of the Holy Spirit, I gathered up enough courage to start an Instagram called Caffeinated Blessings. And I think that's going to be my way of spreading the good news, because that's what the joy of the gospel is. But in a way that's done through generosity with monthly caffeinated giveaways, but also through inspiration and to encourage and support local businesses and people to pay it forward, to give. So that's
Caffeinated Blessings on
Instagram. Caffeinated
Blessings.
Yes.
On Instagram. All right.
You need that caffeine.
So that's how to stay in touch with Yen. If you're interested in the convention, again, accwarchspm.org or call the ACCW office at 651-291-4545. Ladies, it's been such a privilege having you both on. Thank you for all your work and looking forward to hearing good things about the convention.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Yes,
excellent.
Thank you so
God
much.
Bless you.
God bless you too, Patrick.
We're going to go into our final break, and as we do, we got more things to talk about with our community events calendar coming up right after this, so don't go away.
Seems like the roller coaster stock market has everyone on edge lately. What if you could find something safe and secure that's guaranteed to grow, no matter what the market does? If you want to safely tuck your hard-earned money away, but still want growth, your friends at Catholic United have just the answer, a Catholic United annuity. Their current first-year crediting rate for new annuities is 3%, with a guaranteed annual rate of 1.5%, better than most bank CDs you'll find. Catholic United annuities are safe with zero account service fees, and you can set them up like a Roth or traditional IRA. Plus, if you want, you can even create monthly, quarterly, or yearly income payments back to yourself. What's not to like about that? Guarantee yourself a positive return, free from stock market risk. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org and find your local rep who can walk you through all the options. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Give them a call today.
Say, take this bread, take this wine, bow the simple made divine, for any to receive.
Happy Easter again, Paul.
Thank you. And the same to you.
Thank you.
Right. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Tell us what we got going on.
Well, you can join the Minnesota Catholic Conference on Tuesday, April 17th from 9 a.m. to noon for Capital 101 for an advocacy training session at the state capitol. This training is a great opportunity for anyone who has ever wanted to know more about what goes on at the capitol, wants to learn more about how to make their ideas impact our state's laws, and overall become a more effective advocate for human dignity and the common good. We encourage individuals, families, student groups, parish groups, anyone who wants to take their advocacy to the next level to register as soon as possible. Registration for Capital 101 is free, but free will offerings are accepted. Register on the event page at mncatholic.org.
And here's what we were just talking about. One more time, the ACCW Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women invites you to their 2018 annual convention at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Stillwater. The convention will run from 12:30 to 9 p.m. on Friday, April 20th, and on Saturday, April 21st, from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. There'll be Mass with Bishop Cousins, presentations by Stephanie Lansom, Yen Fasano, and Michelle Gillino, a silent auction, marketplace, Friday evening social, entertainment, and more. For more information and to register, visit accwarchspm.org.
Grandparents, you're invited to the Nativity Grandparents Apostolate of Saints Joachim and Anne, Wednesday, April 25th, 8:45 to 10:30 a.m. at Steiner Hall of Nativity Catholic Church in St. Paul. Daily Mass is offered in the church at 8:15 a.m. All grandparents are invited to a time of enrichment, prayer, and fellowship with Jean Stolpelstad, Archdiocesan Director of Marriage, Family, and Life, speaking on being a beacon of love, living in faith, hope, and charity. Refreshments will be served Church and Steiner Hall are both wheelchair accessible. For more information, visit parish.nativity-mn.org or email info@nativity-mn.org.
Discerning and using your charisms can change your own life, your family, your parish, and the world. Explore the ancient teaching of the Church on how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in our life and in the life of your parish. Mary, Mother of the Church in Burnsville, invites you to join them for a one-day called and gifted workshop on Saturday, April 28th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Cost is $80 per person and includes materials, refreshments, and follow-up personal discernment guidance. For more information, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
The mission of the Worldwide Marriage Encounter is to proclaim the value of marriage and holy orders in the Church and in the world. Marriage Encounter weekends are a special time for married couples to get away from all distractions and to learn the communication tools needed to help connect with your spouse in healthy and constructive ways, which will deepen your intimacy and connectedness. Keep your vocation strong. This retreat takes place from Friday, May 4th through Sunday, May 6th, Christ the King Retreat Center in Buffalo. For more information to apply for the weekend, go to WWME.org, click Find a Weekend.
Next time on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to talk about incorporating prayer into exercise. It's spring. It's time to get back in shape, right? We'll hear from co-founder of SoulCore, Colleen Scariano, as well as Bridget Busacher, who exercises with SoulCore, a movement born from the desire to nourish body and soul. Also hear from founder of Pietra Fitness, Karen Barbary, and certified Pietra Fitness instructor, Kathy Carson. All that's coming up next time, as well as a special visit from Father Rocky of Relevant Radio. In the meantime, folks, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.